He didn't know I didn't finish this morning, did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I finished the main part that I really wanted to. So this afternoon I only had enough for about 10 minutes. So I had to add enough for another an hour and a half. So so I spent the rest of the afternoon adding some stuff to the message. But I think this will be a blessing to you. I hope it's a blessing to you. The title for tonight is simply two words, follow me.
Amen.
Jesus made that statement to Peter. We talked about Peter this morning. We talked about the number three and how important three is in the scriptures. And why did Jesus, you know, talk to Peter three times and tell him or ask him, lovest thou me more than these? He said that the first time, but then the other two times he just simply said, lovest thou me? And again, we speculate as to why three times. Maybe it's because he denied the Lord three times, but we're not told that. We can't be adamant about that. We just Jesus appeared to them three times in verse 14, and then he asks Peter. And I just simply think that it's because he wanted to get Peter's attention. Many times God does that. He'll get our attention one way or the other. You try to get your children's attention. How many times do you have to, you know, yell out your child's name to get their attention? Sometimes more than once. Sometimes more than three times. But the Lord used three times to get Peter's attention. But he doesn't stop there with just simply feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Let's pick up in verse 18. Could you stand with me just briefly while I know I hear the groans and the moans. That's all right. Verse 18, I'll read, you follow along. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast, he's talking to Peter, the Lord's talking to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, say it, follow me. Isn't that interesting? The Lord waited until he told Peter how he was going to die. He said, but I still want you to follow me anyway.
Yeah.
Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, bless the message tonight. Again, help us to see the importance of following you, putting you first in our life. And Lord, help us to see the importance of loving you more than anything else. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, just you may be seated, just to reiterate, as Jesus said, lovest thou me more than these? I said this morning that these could be twofold. It could be the people around him, the other apostles, or his family, or his friends, or whatever. Or it could mean his fishing boat, his fishing net, his fishing tackle, the fish that he just caught. I mean, he caught, what, 153 fish? They fished all night and they couldn't catch anything. Jesus says, cast the net on the right side, and all of a sudden they got 153 fish in the net, and it was amazing. And the other thing that always amazed me is Jesus didn't need the fish, even though he says, bring them ashore. He already had fish on the fire.
That's right.
He had bread already fixed, and he had the breakfast. He had the men's prayer breakfast, guys, that some of you missed this morning. He had the men's prayer breakfast already made and prepared for those apostles, those seven that went out fishing that night. He had it already prepared for them when they came in. And he fed them. And he blessed them. But then he asks Peter he asks him the questions, lovest thou me? And then he gave him a command to do something. And as I said this morning too, that when you love the Lord, you're going to serve the Lord. And feeding is serving. Remember that. Feeding is serving. It's a form of serving. And so if you really love the Lord, you're going to want to serve the Lord in some capacity. You're going to want to do something for the Lord. And if you don't know what to do for the Lord, here's a good some good advice. Ask Him what He wants you to do. And He'll tell you. He'll make it clear to you. This is what I want you to do. If you love Him, just say, Lord, I want to do something in the church. I just don't know what to do. Can you give me some wisdom? Can you give me some direction? And He will do it. I guarantee you. But here we see in this, in the latter part of this chapter, we see that Jesus continues His talk with Peter, but He shifts a little bit. He's already got the love. Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. And I believe that Peter did love the Lord. I have no doubt about that. I believe that Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart. As I said this morning also, he never denied the Lord after this. He followed the Lord and he did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He became a tremendous preacher and a great servant of God in that early church. But now the Lord is going to test him a little bit more. And he tells him, he says, listen, Peter, in verse 18, he says, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do and you went where you wanted to go. But he says, when you get older, somebody else is going to lead you, somebody else is going to bind you, and you're going to die. He told Peter, you're going to die. He knew that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. 2 Peter 1, 14. Look what the Lord, look what Peter says in this passage. 2 Peter 1, 14. Peter is writing his last epistle. And he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, knowing that surely I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. He's referring back to John chapter 21 and verses 18 and 19. But again, the Lord said, hey, you did as you please when you were young, but when you're old, you're not going to do as you please. Tradition tells us that Peter was crucified. But he requested that he be crucified upside down. Because he did not want to die the same way the Lord died. He actually, I would suspect that being crucified upside down has got to be way worse. The pain and the suffering, I can't fathom it. But that's what tradition tells us as to how he died. And even though he was being led away to be crucified, Peter never denied the Lord. And so the Lord just simply says, Peter, I want you to follow me, regardless of what your future holds. It's sad that a lot of Christians will follow the Lord as long as things are going their way. As soon as there's a little monkey wrench thrown into the life, thrown into your life or my life, it's easy to follow the Lord when everything is going your way. But when it gets a little bit more difficult is when things aren't going your way. Right? But our job as a Christian is to follow the Lord and love the Lord, as He already instructed Peter, regardless of what takes place in our life. Regardless of the pain, the suffering, the troubles, the persecution, the problems that arise in our life, we still are to follow the Lord. We seem to live in a society today, in the Christian realm, that Christians will follow and do what God wants and even love the Lord when things are going their way. But get sidetracked a little bit and that's it. I'm done. How many Christians have I seen quit over the years because things didn't go their way in their life? How many Christians do I know that just give up going to church because things aren't going their way in life? Isn't that sad? That's sad.
Yes, it is.
We are to be following the Lord. We are to be loving the Lord regardless. The Lord tells Peter, you're going to die someday, buddy, and you're going to die in a very, very, very terrible way. But he simply says, follow me. Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, saith unto him, follow me. And so the purpose in our life is not to follow our own dreams and our own will, But the purpose in our life as Christians is to follow the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
Follow what He wants us to do. Is life going to be easy for you or me? Not necessarily. I mean, life might be easy for some, but life is not always easy for everyone as a Christian. You go through the Word of God and you find a lot of people suffering a lot of things. And yet they still follow the Lord.
Amen.
They still honor the Lord with their life and with their obedience. Follow me. So Jesus said, after He had told Peter how He was going to die and for him to love Him, He just simply says, I want you to follow me. And as our love grows for the Lord, the more we'll want to follow Him.
Amen.
But something interesting takes place in verse 20. This is where I want to focus for a few minutes. Then Peter, next two words, turning about. You know what Peter did? As he did previously? Took his eyes off him. He turned about. The Lord had his attention when He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Simon, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me the third time? The Bible says that Peter got grieved, but the Lord had his attention. And Peter was focused on the Lord. Peter was focused on the Lord when the Lord told him how he was going to die at an older age. He was focused on the Lord when the Lord was saying to him, follow me, Peter. He had Peter's attention. But instantaneously, Peter simply turned about and he looked at somebody else. He took his attention off from the Lord and he got his eyesight on to somebody, another human being. And this is where the Lord had to rebuke Peter again. You would think the previous times that Peter did that Peter would have learned. You don't take your eyes off the Lord. But he did. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. How many times do you take your eyes off the Lord? And what does it cause in your life? It causes issues. It causes problems. How many times have I taken my eyes off the Lord? I know what it does. I know what happens when you take your eyes off the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know the story of Peter. He was walking on the water with Jesus, but as soon as he got his eyes off the Lord and looked upon the storm, what did he do? He started to sink. And he had to cry out to the Lord to save him. And the Lord reached out and saved him. What a blessing that is. But he got his eyes off the Lord. And when you get your eyes off the Lord, who knows what's going to happen? And so, Peter took his eyes off the Lord and he begins to sink. You take your eyes off the Lord and your life will start to sink. Some of you, you take your eyes off the Lord and I mean, it's like the end of the world. You will say things that you wish you never said. You will do things you wish you never did. You'll think things you wish you never thought. But it's because you took your eyes off the Lord. And you put your eyes onto somebody or something else.
Amen.
Beware when you do that. So Peter took his eyes off the Lord as he looks at John. We'll get back to that here in a minute. But Peter had done this in the past. He took his eyes off the Lord and he started to sing. But not only that, look at Mark 14. Go to Mark chapter 14. And verses 37 and 38. Mark chapter 14. Peter is in the garden. Remember, Peter, James, and John went into the garden further, into the heart of the garden with Jesus. Jesus tells the men to watch and pray while he goes and prays a little further in, about a stone's cast. And in verses 37 and 38, and he come, Jesus in Mark 14, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into what? Temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so Peter was one of those in the garden that takes his eyes and his mind off of what the Lord was doing, just a stone's cast away. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ needed those men praying for him in the garden?
Yeah.
Because of what he was facing. He was facing crucifixion. He was facing the death for the entire world and for your sins and my sins. He asked these men, please, watch and pray for me. He goes in and he prays. He comes back. He finds them sleeping. Snoring away, leaned up against an olive tree, and they're just out of it. He goes back in and he prays again. He comes back. They're still sleeping. He goes back in and prays a third time, saying the same thing. And he comes back and he finds them sleeping. And so Peter was there in the garden with that. And matter of fact, the Lord addressed Peter, not the other two. You better not take your mind or your eyes off the Lord. You might find yourself sleeping. How many times, and I don't know how many times, I'm just saying this for the sake of asking a question. How many times have we seen the Bible where it talks about how we need to awake? Wake up, Christian.
Yeah, come on.
Get right with God. I said this just recently, maybe it was last week or the week before. We want revival in this country. Revival will never happen in this country until the church gets revived.
Right.
And the church will never get revived with the attitude of some people in our churches today. Because we got this problem that Peter had. We've got people taking their eyes off the Lord and they're sinking. We have people taking their mind and their eyes off the Lord and they're falling asleep. Not physically, maybe speaking, but spiritually, Christians are sleeping today. They're not in tune to what the Lord would have them to do. We're living in, you know, we're living in trying, dangerous times. We talk about how we're living in the last days, and I believe we are living in the last days. That ought to get us revived even more. Knowing the situation that we are facing for a future in this world. And yet we still have Christians who are taking their eyes off from the Lord and doing their own thing.
Right.
When I have to pray and ask and beg God to bring Christians to church, boy, do we need revival. When Christians, born-again Christians, refuse to go to church, we're not going to see revival with that kind of an attitude.
Right.
Look at John chapter 18. Here's another thing that Peter did. John 18. Remember when Peter denied the Lord? In John 18, verse 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. He said, therefore, unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. One of the passages, I forget if it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the eyes of Peter and Jesus meet. And when Peter sees the eyes of Jesus and they meet, the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. The point that I'm trying to make is Peter takes his eyes off the Lord and he begins to deny the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord. And here he is denying the Lord. 3 times. You see how dangerous it is to take your eyes, take your mind off the Lord for just a brief moment. It was a brief moment there when Peter was walking on the water. It only took a glance away. And look at the storm. And immediately he was going down. It took him just dozing off in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord is rebuking him. It took just a moment for him to get his eyes off the Lord as the Lord was being led out to go and be crucified. It took just a moment Just a brief moment, and he's denying the Lord three times. He's cursing and swearing. You see the dangers of taking your mind and eyes off the Lord just for a split second? Well, I only took my eyes off the Lord for a moment. That's all it takes. And you're in dangerous territory. Just a brief moment. Just take your eyes off for just a brief moment, and you're either sinking, sleeping, or you're denying. Are you getting the message?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to Peter over and over again in chapter 21, first, lovest thou me, and now he's saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. He wants Peter to follow him. And Peter again, let's go back to our text here. Peter again, in chapter 21 of John, in chapter 21, verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, who's he not looking at now? He's not looking at Jesus. Who's he looking at? John. He's looking at another human being. See, here's the danger. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get your eyes off from the Lord and you look at another human being, you are in dangerous territory. You can be in dangerous territory. You get your eyes off the Lord and just peer at somebody long enough, and it can get your mind off from the Lord. It can get your mind off from the things of God. It can put you into a dangerous situation. And all is just a split second. All Peter did was turn about. Oh, Lord, what about this guy? How come I'm going to die? And what's going to happen with John? He was more concerned about John than following the Lord. And what does the Lord have to do to Peter? He has to rebuke Peter. Again, I don't know. I've not studied this out, but I don't really know any. I don't think there's another apostle that's been rebuked more than Peter. But I see Peter and I read about Peter and I say, you know what, that's sometimes a lot about that's just like me.
That's right.
Boy, get your eyes off the Lord, get your mind off the Lord just for a split second, and it can cause all kinds of issues in your life. It can cause problems in your marriage.
Right.
It can cause problems within your family.
Yep.
It can certainly cause a lot of problems within our church.
Yep.
When people start looking at other people in the church, pointing fingers. You see these NGZs all over the church that I put up?
Yeah.
What do they mean again?
No
gossip zone. Some of you asked and some of you didn't. It's a no gossip zone. That means there's no gossiping in church. There's no gossiping outside of church either. Gossiping is not good for anybody, anywhere.
Amen.
But especially in church.
Right.
Because you get your eyes off the Lord, and you'll start talking about so-and-so. You'll start talking about the preacher. You'll start talking about somebody else in church. Just take your eyes off the Lord for a nanosecond. That's all it takes. That's all it took Peter. And that's all it takes for you and I. The Lord, in a nice way, in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? I've underlined that in my Bible. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. I'm not adding to the scriptures, but this is what the Lord was saying. It doesn't matter what happens to John. Your business, Peter, is to follow me.
That's right.
Mind your own business. Mind your own business.
Amen.
Is in today's vernacular, that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. What is that to thee? But boy, we like to be in other people's business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Come on.
We like to be right there where they are. We think we got the answer to everybody's problems but our own. You know, it seems like we can solve everybody else's, but we can't solve our own problems. Minding our own business. You know, that's our flesh wants to be involved in everybody else's business.
That's right.
Our flesh wants to turn our fleshly eyes away from the Lord and look at somebody else. And so what happens is we look at other people. We look at other people in our homes, our spouses, our children, our adults, the parents. We start looking at other people and we start complaining. We start grumbling. We start... Remember that grumpy thing we talked about this morning? It's in the bulletin. Read it. 5 ways to be a friendlier church. If you're going to be grumpy, leave it, take it somewhere else. Don't bring it into church. We don't want grumps in the church.
That's right.
We want you to come to church. But we don't want you to come with a grumpy attitude. Keep your grumpy attitude out in the parking lot. Pick it up as you leave and take it home. Guarantee it. It'll be there. It'll be there in your car or your vehicle. I'm sure when you get back outside, I'm sure you'll pick up your grumpiness and take them home. Or her home. Whatever. If the shoe fits, put it on. Right? Look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's just talk about this for a minute. About minding our own business. Can we do that? In a loving manner. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Do you know the Bible has a lot to say about this little subject? I only picked out, 5 passages of Scripture or so that we'll look at here about this. But the Bible does have a lot to say about that. And I wonder why. Is it because we need help in this area?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Don't you sit there and think you're better than me. And I won't stand here thinking that I'm better than you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verses 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet. I like that word, study. You have to study to be quiet.
Yeah, sure.
That's because it doesn't come natural for most of us.
Oh, yeah.
Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
Amen.
Of course, we know that Paul, many times, he admonished not only the Thessalonians, but others, that working with your hands is something that you need to do. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're all commanded to do, is to work. But he makes that statement there, just be quiet about things. And do your own business. In other words, mind your own business. If somebody comes up to you and starts complaining about somebody, what do you do about that? What is the best thing to do?
Change the subject.
Same, change the subject?
Walk away.
Walk away. Slap them in Christian law? No, don't do that. But we do need, somebody may need some minor rebuking for that. We have to really use Christian love in these matters, but we have to be very gentle and careful as to how we handle things like this. Because you give ear to certain gossip or complaining or grumbling or griping, before you know it, you'll probably start grumbling and griping and complaining yourself. I've noticed that. Somebody's got a grumbly attitude, before you know it, you've got the grumbly attitude.
Right.
Because grumbly attitudes seem to spread. It's like the little virus that goes through the church or through the school or through a classroom. The grumbly virus seems to attack us often also. I get them too. Look at Proverbs 26.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 26. And verse 17. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. In other words, you're going to get bit. You grab a dog by the ears, you're going to feel the teeth, I'm sure. But that's the same way if you're dealing with somebody. The Bible says that he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him.
Yeah.
It's just good to mind your own business.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 5. and verse 15. 5 and verse 13, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 5, 13. Now let me read 12, 13, 14, somewhere around. 12. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Paul warns about that to Timothy as he is getting ready to pastor the church, or he probably was already pastoring the church at this particular time, but he's warning about those that go from house to house. Nowadays, we have a thing called a cell phone. And we... I got the text. But now we have... I've got two texts. No, it's not gossip. I'm just not going to share with you. But now we have this little thing called a cell phone. Oh, now I got a third one. Now they're going to come in. Yeah, they're all going to come in. Now we have this thing called a cell phone in which we can talk about people right here on this device.
Come on.
We have computers now that we can send emails to people. And we can talk that way. We still use the phone for talking. I still like to do that.
Yeah.
I like to talk on the phone. Some of you, I don't like to talk on the phone. You're a big baby.
Yeah, stripes.
Get over it.
Get over it. But sometimes talking on the phone can lead to some dangerous things.
Yes, sir.
We have to watch what we're saying all the time.
Yes.
Always, always, always. We got to watch what we're saying. Got to be careful how we talk to people. You got to be careful what you're texting. It drives me nuts. Or on Facebook.
Yeah, huh?
Oh boy.
Whole world.
I mean, everybody knows what you're saying on Facebook.
Yep.
Or whatever other social media medium you're using. It's incredible some of the things that people do and say on Facebook. We don't need to know that. I could care less if you're going to the bathroom. Who cares? I really don't care what you're having for dinner. It doesn't matter unless you're going to share it with me. But there's so many things that we type on there now. It's just, I can see sharing some things. I understand that. When I was in Puerto Rico, I was sharing with you all of the wonderful pictures of the sun and the heat and the ocean and the iguanas and all of the banana tree. You know, I was sharing all that stuff because I was just trying to make you feel
jealous.
And it worked with some of you. And you do that when you go away sometimes. There's some good that can be done with that, but there's also some evil that can come about.
Yeah, that's right.
And I listen, I'm not on Facebook that much, but I see some evil on there at times.
Yeah.
And we have to be so careful. You have, listen, please, 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 be careful what you say.
Yeah.
There's been people that have put some horrible, I mean, they just blast somebody completely to smithereens by posting some things, true or not true. Well, this is true. You don't know all of it.
Right.
No. Some of the things that I've seen that people, Christians that have said things against other people on Facebook is
come on.
I don't have words for it. Some people post and then they take it right off. But if you've already posted it, it's there. It's out there somewhere. And you can delete it off your Facebook page, but it's out there somewhere for somebody to get. No matter what you put on this phone, no matter what you type into your computer, it is there somewhere.
That's right.
An expert can find it if they want to. And the Lord already knows what's on it. You better be careful what you're posting. You better be careful what you're texting somebody. You better be careful what you're typing on your computer. You better be careful. Social media today has ruined lives. It has completely ruined some lives of people. It's had some good. I'm not saying it's all bad. It's had some good, and if it's done right, I think it can be used for good.
Absolutely.
You can post scripture, you can talk about the Lord, you can, I mean, it's a great witnessing tool, it's a great way to reach people for the Lord. Missionaries all over the world are using Facebook Live to reach people that they normally can't reach. We, even in this church, with our live streaming, have reached people that we normally could not have reached.
Absolutely.
And so there's good, and then there's bad. And the devil loves to take something that's good and turn it into something that's bad.
Right.
And that's exactly how the Lord works. Okay, where was I? We read, yeah, all right. Go over to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. What I'm saying is, be careful, please.
Amen.
Think before you type. Think before you speak.
Yeah.
Romans 14, verse 8. Romans 14, 8. I don't think we sometimes think about this. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I will not be standing off to the side while you're being judged, pointing my finger at you. Ah, Lord, so-and-so's getting what they got coming. I knew they'd get what they got coming. No. We won't be doing that there.
Right.
We're all going to be flat on our faces.
Right.
And we're going to be giving an account of our own selves to God, Almighty, to Jesus Christ. All the things that we have said in this life, all the things that we have thought in this life, are going to be made known at that particular point. Philippians 4:8. If we're following the Lord the way that He wants us to follow Him, and keeping our eyes and our mind focused on the Lord and not on somebody else, as Peter was turning himself and talking about John and thinking about John, Jesus had to rebuke him and said, look, you follow me. That's what I want. I want you to follow me. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about James. Don't worry about Nathaniel. Don't worry about the other apostles. You follow me. And that's the lesson for all of us. Don't worry about another church member.
Amen.
Right. Don't worry about a spouse. Don't worry about a neighbor. Don't worry about somebody else. You be concerned about what you're doing, and you follow the Lord, and you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, and you follow the Lord.
Come on.
You cannot change somebody else.
Right.
A husband cannot change a wife. You might think that I can change them. So many people have gotten married thinking they can change somebody, but when they got married, they realized, I guess I can't change them. You can't change another person. Only God can do that.
That's right.
So what do we do? Well, here's a good verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. By the way, Jesus Christ is all of them. Put into one verse. He is true, He's honest, He's just, He's pure, He's lovely, He's of good report. If we're focused on Him, these things will be our mind also. We will be thinking about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. But we must be concentrating on the Lord. Lovest thou me? Follow me. The more you love, the more you want to follow. I hope and pray that this was helpful to you, because it's been helpful to me.
Amen.
I guess if nobody else got anything out of it, at least I did. How is your love for the Christ, for the Lord? How is your love for Jesus Christ? Seriously. Are you following Him? What you do in your life does matter. What you say with your words, that does matter. What we do in life matters. Father, thank you for the passages of Scripture that we looked at tonight. I pray that they would do some good here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love you. I pray also, Lord, that you would help us to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be so concerned about everybody else around us. But we need to be more concerned about you, following you, keeping our eyes and keeping our mind on you. So Lord, work in our lives and hearts, and work in this church, work upon everybody that's here and listening tonight. If there's anybody here that's not saved, we pray for their salvation tonight.
Amen.
Just work and move upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, stand.